Yesterday evening, I came in on the end of the meeting, and I was hearing Brother Ernie wrapping things up, and I was blessed to think of coming to Jesus, finding in Him our all. Having desire for Him, wanting more of the Spirit of Christ, coming to feed upon Him, coming to drink the water of life. Well, you were here and you heard it. And one thing that was especially blessed for me was that I thought that goes along with our staff devotional reading for today. Those of you who are on staff know that we have a little booklet and we're encouraged to read in it. And yesterday's reading had to do with Jesus' question, where He asked His disciples, "Are you leaving me too?" Or in the NIV, I think it says, "You are not leaving me too, are you?" Well, He had just been preaching, and the things that He had been saying were difficult to understand. And I think any one of us would say, that's understandable. Not what He was saying, but it's understandable that it was difficult to be understood. Certainly at that point in time, it was difficult. And Jesus was saying, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And you need to feed on that bread. If you want to have life in you, you think you have life, but if you want to have life in you, you must feed upon me. You must," He said, "eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you." Tells us there that, what is this, people said? What is He saying? And they couldn't understand it, and they kind of started to go away. And Jesus looked around. It seems that there were only a few people left, but He saw His nearest and dearest, His 12 disciples. And He said to them, "You're not leaving me too, are you?" And you remember the answer that Peter gave? I like to paraphrase that just a little bit. Well, first I'll say what he said. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have nowhere else to go." We know, He had just said, actually, "the word that I speak, the flesh doesn't profit anything. The Spirit makes alive. And the word that I speak, the words that I speak are spirit and life. And you're not leaving me too." And Peter says, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And this is what I kind of read Peter was saying. "Lord, we may not understand what you have said. We may not be able to grasp it now. But we know you and we love you." And he does go on to say that. We have believed and we know who you are. That you are the Holy One of God. And therefore, we're not going anywhere. We're coming to you. And Brother Ernie was talking like that. And how we want our hearts to be wanting Jesus, coming to the fountain, drinking the water, being filled with the Spirit. And my heart was stirred, and I think your hearts were stirred too. Oh, to have one desire, to be true-hearted, to be whole-hearted in that desire for Jesus. While he was speaking, he talked about Jeremiah, and he mentioned that word in Jeremiah 2 that is so very familiar to us, that God's people had forsaken the fountain of living waters, and they had gone to look elsewhere for their satisfaction. I wonder if we realize what a horrible thing that is. That's what God said through Jeremiah. Jeremiah was given a call to be a prophet, and in the first chapter, God said, I'm putting my words in your mouth, and you have to speak them, and I will be with you. And it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to be strong, and I'm going to make you strong. And when you read on and you see the things that Jeremiah had to say for the Lord, right away in the second chapter, right away after the call, Jeremiah had to tell them that they had forsaken the Lord. And really what that second chapter is all about is, I guess we could say, God is making the case. God is filing for divorce because his people have been unfaithful to him. And he certainly has grounds. Infidelity, irreconcilable differences, whatever they all are. I mean, he has grounds for divorce. I mean, he just piles them one on top of the other in that chapter and in other places in Jeremiah also. And one of them is what Brother Ernie mentioned just very briefly. Maybe I could look at that in the second chapter. Look what my people have done. What have you done, he says. Where has anything like this ever happened, or even been heard of, that a nation would change its gods? Nations don't, even pagan nations don't change gods. But my people have forsaken me. My people, has a nation changed its God, even though its gods, even though they are no gods? They're no gods, but the people still stay faithful to their false gods. My people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. And God says, be appalled, O heavens, at this, be shocked, be utterly desolate. Maybe your Bible says amazed, but be utterly desolate, be shocked, be appalled. O heavens, declares the Lord, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And he goes on with this, but this is something that God's people do. We do that. We have all been guilty of this. We have all been guilty of this. Our hearts are drawn aside, and we don't go after the one thing that is needful. And God says, how can it be? What have you done? What have you done? We can't take time to read the second chapter. Look how long it is, 37 verses. But one thing after the other, one thing after the other. Lift up your eyes. It goes into the third chapter too. Where have you not been ravished? Which of these gods on the hills and the high places have you not committed adultery with? Have you not prostituted yourselves? for? Which of them? You've just gone after every attraction, anything that draws your heart away from me. You've allowed it to happen. But I really got up to say this. I had to say that by way of background. God files for divorce. It's like he came to court to make the case, okay, from his people because they've been unfaithful. They've forsaken him. But he doesn't go through with it. He makes the case. He speaks the word. He pronounces the coming judgment unless things change. But then he's so loving. We sang the love of God. And we know how he sent Jesus to bear our sins. I love that song you chose, Brother Peter. That verse that we repeated is just one of the clearest, I think, in our hymns, one of the clearest expressions of the substitutionary atonement. He took my place. Jesus came to live my life and die my death so that I might live for him and live with him forever and not be separated from God, not be divorced and cast out from his presence because he loves, oh, how he loves you and me. And so the Lord calls. He calls in the third chapter. Come, come, come. We had that last night, and I was so stirred. Return, return. It's a call to repentance. Return. Third chapter. I will not look on you in anger. I am merciful. I will not be angry forever, declares the Lord. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice. Here, return, verse 14, another return. He says it again and again in this passage, I think four times. Return, O faithless children, I am your master. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family. I will bring you to Zion. He calls himself their husband. He calls himself their father later on. Oh, I wanted to be a father to you. Verse 19. I wanted to set you among my sons. I wanted to give you a pleasant land, a heritage most beautiful of all nations. I wanted you to call me my father and would not turn from... I thought you would call me my father and would not turn from following me. That's a little puzzling, isn't it? Because God knows everything. But he's speaking in human terms. He's appealing to them. You know, you have a father, or you maybe you had a father who loved you. I don't think I ever saw my father angry. I don't think he ever punished me in anger. He did punish me. But had he been angry with me, I think that would have been easier to take than if he said, I'm disappointed in you. And that's what God's saying here. I lavished my goodness upon you. I'm disappointed in you. He's appealing to their hearts. I'm disappointed in you. My father knew that I had a special place in my heart for my mother. And I remember one time when he wanted to punish me, or he needed to punish me. He wasn't just arbitrary. Something happened. Anyway, he said, go to my room. And that meant something bad usually, or something perhaps painful, whatever he was about to do. But this time it was the only time it happened this particular way. He must have worked on this. By the way, he never punished me like on the spur of the moment. You know, one of those kind of things. It was always measured, and I'm sure, thoughtful. He talked to me first. But this time, he had actually looked up Bible verses. Maybe he had taken his concordance. And he gave me this list and said, okay, look these up. Proverbs something and Proverbs something else and Proverbs something else. A foolish son is a disgrace to his father and a grief to his mother. We had all these verses, and a lot of them had mother in them. And before you knew it, I was crying as though he, as though he had done something different. He appealed to my heart. I remember that day. It sticks in my mind. But here the Lord says it too. I'm disappointed in you. How could it be? What have you done? Now, he didn't always speak that way. He spoke very strongly, even right here. In this chapter, you have a model of repentance. At the end of the third chapter, or where is it? They speak in return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithfulness. Yes, there it comes. Behold, we come to you. You are the Lord our God. The hills are a delusion. The orgies on the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. But from our youth, the shameful thing has devoured all for which our fathers labored. Their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. Think of it. Think of it. We squandered it all by worshiping idols. It's been devoured. That which our fathers worked for, it's been devoured. Our hearts turned from the Lord. We didn't seek him with a true heart and whole heart. So let us lie down in our shame. Let our dishonor cover us. We have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Then the Lord says, if you return, O Israel, to me, you should return. If you remove your detestable things from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear as the Lord lives in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah, break up your fallow ground. That's that unused ground that gets hard. It needs to be softened so that it can be planted. Sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts. In the Old Testament, you have the spiritual significance of circumcision. The heart is cut around, separated unto the Lord. Leave these sins. Come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters. But look what he says. If you don't do that, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. He's faithful with his warnings. Your repentance. They said the right things, didn't they? The bitterness of sin. They went and repented for past sins and current sins. And God wants us to live like that too, humbly before him in an attitude of repentance. But they said the right things. But in Jeremiah's day, there was quite a revival in Josiah's heart. But generally speaking, some, of course, turned to the Lord. But it wasn't really a go-through thing, because within a few years, the people were carried away captive and punished for their sins. But God piled up, God set forth this case against his people in that second chapter. Be astonished, O heavens! Utterly appalled. How can it be? Twofold evil has been committed by my people, things that even the heathen nations will not do. he sets this forth, the case for divorce, just cutting them off. And then he doesn't go through with it. He offers them his mercy. He is a loving and merciful God. And I'm just so thankful for that today. And we sang, the love of God is greater far. We sang, hallelujah, what a Savior. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Do we find that in our hearts? I know there was a response last night, but I was so blessed as I thought of Brother Ernie preaching that way, and then the devotional that we had read. Let us be true-hearted. Let us be whole-hearted. Let us love Jesus with all of our hearts. He has loved us and given himself for us. And so, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? We may not understand everything about it yet. Oh, but the disciples knew so much later when the Holy Spirit came. And we live on this side of the cross and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we know so much more about receiving Christ and partaking of Christ and drinking at the fountain, as we heard yesterday. And oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. The wonderful love of God in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Everything in Jesus. And Jesus echoes the same thing. Return, Jeremiah said. It's the same God. And Jesus says, come unto me. Brother Ernie said it last night. Take the free gift of the water of life. Come. If anyone thirsts, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come to the wedding banquet. It's time to eat. Time to partake of Christ. All things are ready. Come to the feast. The table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. The door is open wide, a place for honor, a place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come, feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Come, whosoever will. I pray that we will always, you know, the people turned, they said the right words, and it seemed like they really meant it, but God is faithful. God knows our hearts. And he said, if you return, if this is really right, then I will bless you. You'll know the fullness of my grace and glory. But if you don't, if you don't follow through, judgment is coming. The beautiful inheritance will be squandered. Well, dear Jesus, I pray that you will help us to follow through. Some responded last night. We want to follow through, Lord, and really choose Christ and learn to feed upon him and learn to forsake the things that would draw us aside from you. Oh Lord, help us. We need your grace, and we know that you have that for us. We need the strength of your Spirit, and we come to partake of you, Lord. You are a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah, we sang. What a Savior. And you are able to save. And save to the uttermost all who come to God by you. You ever live for us to save us. And to bring us all the way through and to keep us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sunday morning, this just came to me this moment. I was speaking from the book of Jude, and you know how the letters go in the New Testament? First the writer, then the people to whom it is addressed, and a little salutation. And you know what Jude said? And I said, Jude is written to me and to you. It says, to the called and to the beloved and to the kept. I just got blessed with the first verse or the salutation. This is to, we're writing to you guys that are called and beloved of God and kept in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, keep us loving you. Keep us loving you, wanting you, seeking you with our whole hearts. Hallelujah. 55. Oh, I'm sorry. Pilgrim Camp songbook, Sing Unto God. Do you think we should stand as we sing? If you'd like to, do stand with me. Everything in Jesus. I've tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise, but what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My soul I cannot feel, for life, I must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads, there's love in should blame. I'll go with all my guilt and shame. I'll go to him because his name above all names is Jesus. Please keep your book open to 55 and let's be seated. I like that third verse so much that I like to sing it again with you. But before that, I like to sing it with Brother Ernie. When I walked into the breakfast this morning, I heard Sister Hofflander saying, "These are my boys." Well, I know she has other boys, but she apparently has adopted the two of us. And I'm hearing him sing so nicely. I can't quite reach those notes, and he's hitting them clear as a bell. It's morning, you know, at night to be able to. So I would like to sing the alto part, and Brother Ernie's going to come up here and sing the melody. He didn't know this. And we're going to do verse 3, and then we're all going to do verse 3. Doesn't that sound like a nice arrangement? Yeah. Don't tell Brother Dom how. I like verse 3 the best. You don't mind.
See that? That's okay. We can do this. Two halves make a whole.
Okay, he died.
He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and deeds. There's all a guilty sinner needs forevermore in Jesus.
All together.
He died.
So why go anywhere else? All a guilty sinner needs forevermore in Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. You are our all. Christ is all. And in all. Christ is all. Christ is all. Hallelujah. A number of years, I've been able to be at camp just about every week of the season. I think maybe one or two weeks over the years has been omitted, but just about every week of the season, and this year has been different. So you're just the ones that got stuck. at home we've been praying for camp every single day in the church too, and every day we've prayed for Brother Ernie and all of you and all the campers and all the staffers, all the guests. And one thing we prayed for Brother Ernie is that God would strengthen him in body, soul, and spirit. And I believe that God has been doing that. And bless him and make him a blessing. And I think there's been real earnest prayer back home. One time Uncle Gordon said, we all have to be earnest. Ernest, the only one that doesn't have to be earnest, because he's earnest anyway. But there was earnest prayer. And I'd just like you to join with me. There are two more days for Ernie to minister. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless Brother Ernie. And we pray together for Brother Ernie. And we pray again that you will continue your good hand upon him. I pray that you'll strengthen him by your grace, which is all sufficient. I pray, Lord, that you will meet him according to your abundance and quicken him by your resurrection, life, and power. I pray for physical strength, Lord. Pray that you will pour in that life and strength that you see he needs. And then I pray for faith and anointing. Thank you for what you're doing. And we pray for your continued working in him, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this ministry, giving us this ministry at this time. And we just pray that he shall be richly blessed and rewarded himself, and that that blessing shall overflow to the whole congregation here in Watch Rock and to the whole camp, Lord. Oh, God, we just look to you and trust you. Trust you that today shall be a day of great, your great and glorious working. We know that you are able to come forth and do your gracious work in the midst today. Bless the cottagers, bless in the village. Have your way, Lord. Touch hearts. Oh, Lord, we believe you bring these campers to us now. Accomplish everything that you brought them here to do for them, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And especially Brother Ernie, as he has this responsibility yet for a couple more days, we just pray for that flow of your spirit, of your life, and let your word be given. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. And the church back home, too, as he's been absent from them. We just pray that you'll bless the whole church family. Bless them, Lord, and bless Ernie's family. We pray, come to them and help me to remember to say Brother Ernie. And amen.
May I say one verse? I said to my roommate, I don't even know where my roommate is, but she's here somewhere.
Right behind me.
Well, behind me. I said to her, Sue Ann, the verse for today is, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And you know where that's tucked in? To what we were talking about a couple days ago, and Brother Ernie mentioned it again last night. First Psalm, blessed is the man, woman, boy, or girl, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way with sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Well, here it is. But that blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And Brother Ernie said another thing. I hope you picked it up. He said, don't just read the Bible and say, I've read it. But he said, ponder. I can't say his words because he's got an intellect I don't have. But ponder it, mull over it, and devour it, and let it become part of your life. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. If you're desiring to be filled with Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God, then your desire will be granted. Amen. If you delight in his word, blessed is that person who goes in the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.